Perek Chof Aleph. We're up to Pasuk Yud Ches. Okay, Pasuk Yud Ches is a very difficult Pasuk. It's really a continuation of Pasuk Kesvav. Okay, so what we have to really do is we have to really go back and explain in order to get the big picture. It's a very long Rashi. Rashi has a few interpretations of what it means. So in order to really get a better picture of what Pasuk Yud Ches means, we have to really go back and review a little bit. So let's just read the Pasuk. We're not going to go through all the Farshim, but let's at least read the Pasuk to get clarity in these very difficult Pasukim. Okay, so let's read the Pasukim. Let's go back to Pasuk Yud Gimel. I'm going to just run through the Pesukim to get, just to review what the context of what is taking place here. Vayhi Devar Hashem Elai Lemar. Hashem spoke to Yechezkel, Ben Adam. Hinavei V'yamarta, give over the following words of prophecy, Koyam Hashem, and more, say the following to Yehuda and Binyamin. These are the only survivors now that are living in Yerushalayim, okay, and it's winding down. The Malchus of Tzidkiyahu. The Malchus of Yehuda is winding down. MRSA.
Quiet.
Cherev huchada v'gam miruta. Sword is sharpened and is also polished. Hashem is saying there's a sword that is coming, namely the sword of Nebuchadnezzar. He is coming to destroy the Malchus of Yehuda, and this sword has been sharpened and has been polished. Sharpened to be effective in bringing about death, and polished psychological warfare to terrorize the people. What's the purpose of being sharpened and being polished? What? Make it louder? Leman tevoyach tevach huchado. It has been sharpened so that it will succeed in slaughter. Leman heyela barak moirata. We read the words backwards. It's moirata. It's been polished so that there should be a shine barak. Period. Okay. Now comes these words which we discussed already last week. We're going to review it because we really need to understand this again in order to play into Pasuk Yud Ches that we're up to. Oy nosis. Now that can mean either it's a question. Should we rejoice? Or maybe we can read oinosis not as a question, as a statement. Oinosis means because you have rejoiced. It's a reason. The reason why the sword has been sharpened and the sword has been polished is because is a punishment for rejoicing. That's the second interpretation. And if you want to learn that the word oinosis is a question, oinosis, should we rejoice? What's the question? What is the possibilities? What is the meaning of this rhetorical statement? Should we rejoice? Okay, we'll come back to that to explain in a moment. Shevet bini, my SS kolets, the rod of my son detests all wood. And what do those words mean? So all of this is subject to interpretation. Again, the reason why we're reviewing this today is because we really need to understand this pasuk with a lot more clarity in order to understand the pasuk that we're up to, pasuk Yud Ches. Okay, so let's review the different interpretations outside. We're not going to go through all the details inside because we already did it, but let's at least outside. According to the Mitsudos, we're going to start backwards. Shevet bini my eses kol eitz means it is a weapon. It is the rod that is going to inflict pain. The shevet means it is the weapon of Nebuchadnezzar that is going to hit. It's going to bring pain to bini, to my child, to Klal Yisrael. My SS call eights, it will not desire to inflict its harm on any other nation other than Klal Yisrael. And we're going to see a little bit later on in the Farshim is that when Nebuchadnezzar, this is very bizarre, extremely bizarre, especially in today's modern warfare and the way the world works today, Nebuchadnezzar, he decides, you know what? I want to go to war. I want to conquer the world. I want to go out to war. Who do I want to conquer? I don't know. When I get to the bridge, I have to make a decision. You cross the Verrazano. Should you go to Staten Island? Should you go? I don't know. You can go left. You can go right. I'll decide then. I'll decide whichever lane I'm in, where I'm closer to this traffic on one side. So I'll go this way. If I'll go this way, I'll make trouble on the left. If it happens to me the road is closed or there's too much traffic, so I'll go to the right. I'll decide later where I want to go and conquer. Now, isn't that bizarre? Today, you say a nation goes to war, they have to go and prepare. You know, you have to know your enemy. You have to do research. You have to plan. You have to strategize what to do. The Nebuchadnezzar says, I can either go and destroy Yerushalayim, or I can go and destroy Rabbas B'nei Amon, name of a place, Amon. I'll decide when I get there which road I want to take. And we'll see later on in the Pesukim that when he came to the crossroads, he divined. He did magic 49 times. He did kesem in order to determine which road and which country will he be successful. So it wasn't even a guarantee. He didn't come to conquer Yerushalayim because lahaches. He wants Bedavka to conquer Yerushalayim. He only came to Yerushalayim was because the Mazalos told him this is a good place to go. So Klal Yisrael, they felt secure. Klal Yisrael, they felt, listen, if Nebuchadnezzar doesn't really have it out for us, it's not on his agenda to go conquer us. He's just going out on a world tour. He's taking his army and he's roaming around the world and conquering nations here and there. So certainly Hashem will be at our side. Hashem will protect us. And we will be spared from Nebuchadnezzar inflicting upon us harm. Because anyway, Nebuchadnezzar is not set. He's not bent on conquering Yerushalayim. He just wants to have some fun. So if you have some fun, it's very easy for Hashem, Bashkocha, to cause it that he will not come our way. So therefore, when the people saw Nebuchadnezzar, Adarab will be to our advantage. Since Nebuchadnezzar is coming to go conquer parts of the world, and most of the world is our enemies, so therefore we should rejoice. When Nebuchadnezzar will come, he's not come to come bother us, come to come and conquer our enemies, and therefore we will be spared. He'll do the dirty work for us. So this is how the Mitzudos Davar L'Mshan is pasuk. The sword has been sharpened, it has been polished. Oinosis, do you, the Jewish people, are you foolish to think, to rejoice, that Nebuchadnezzar is not going to come for you? He's going to come and conquer your enemies? You're making a big mistake. Shevet Bini, he's coming to act as a rod, as an act of punishment to my children, to Klal Yisrael. My SS call eight, Nebuchadnezzar will detest to conquer, to cut down any other wood. He will, any other, like Yerushalayim is called the Yar, it's called the forest. So other nations are also, in this metaphor, also called trees. He will detest, it will not be a consideration in his mind to conquer any other nation other than the Jewish people, and therefore watch out, he's coming for you. So Lefi, the perish of the Mitzudos, when it says Shevet, Shevet means it's a metaphor for an act, for an object, a weapon of destruction. Bini is Klal Yisrael. My SS Kol Eitz is describing the attitude of Nebuchadnezzar. He will detest any option of conquering another nation. Eitz, Kol Eitz means other nations, a metaphor for other nations. He will detest, it will not be an option for him to conquer other nations. He only wants to come and conquer Bini, and therefore, Oinosis, are you foolish to rejoice? Don't rejoice, because your end is coming near. This is the parish of the Mitzudos David. Rashi is similar, well, not exactly. Rashi, first of all, Rashi, when Rashi says Oinosis, the way I discovered, Rashi is a little different. Rashi says, is there anything left in life to rejoice about? When you know that the end is near, when you know that the world is coming to an end, that's it. You melt. The person has no simcha sachayim. The sword has been sharpened. The sword has been polished. Nebuchadnezzar is coming for us. Oinosis, it's a question. Should we rejoice? Is it kedai to go to a wedding? Is it kedai to go to a bar mitzvah, to go to a simcha? It's it. There's nothing left to live for. It's all over. Shevet Bini, he's coming upon us, according to Rashi, with a shevet, with a rod, to destroy the Bini. Now this shevet, according to Rashi, is so mighty. This weapon is so mighty. My SS Kol Eitz, if this weapon had a human characteristics, it would look at other weapons, it would laugh, it would say, you're a nothing, Kenegan. Like the example we gave last week, Moab, the mother of all bombs. when the Moab looks at a Tomahawk cruise missile, it laughs. You're a nothing, Kinegani. I'm 21,000 pounds. You're just 1,000 pounds. Your power is nothing, Kinegani. That is how powerful the Shevet that will descend upon Klal Yisrael is. It's a Shevet that is Moyes Eskoletz. It's directed to Bini. Oinosis is there's nothing left to live for in this world. There's nothing left to rejoice for. The hearts of all human, of all members of Klal Yisrael have melted and are saddened. So these are the two basic mahalchim of Rashi and the Mitzudos. The Radak is kemat exactly like the Mitzudos David. Now Rashi, and we're going to review the Rashi, is the Targum has an entirely different interpretation. All the interpretation I'm reviewing because it's going to be extremely critical. We're going to do Pasuk Yud Ches in one moment. He says the word Shevet refers to, is a code word for Shevet Bini, refers to the Shevet of Yehuda and Binyamin. And it's not, it doesn't mean a rod, it means a tribe. The tribe, but even though it's singular, it refers to the collective noun, the two remaining tribes in Klal Yisrael, Yehuda and Binyamin. They are Moeses Koletz. They detested all other tribes. Eitz, according to the Targum, is a metaphor for the 10 Aseres HaShvatim. They detested them. Why did they detest them? Because they were Oivdei Avodah Zarah. There was a civil war in Klal Yisrael for 100 years between Yeravam, between the Malchus of Yisrael, the Malchus more than 100 years, so 150 years, the Malchus of Yisrael, the Malchus of Yehuda. The Malchus of Yehuda generally were tzaddikim, and they detested the Avodah Zarah and the sins of the Aseres HaShvatim, and therefore, Oinosis, they rejoiced. Oinosis means because, but Nosis, they rejoiced when the Aseres HaShvatim were exiled through Sancheriv. It was a cause of great celebration. And this was viewed by Hashem as a very great sin. You do not rejoice over the downfall of your brothers, even though your brothers have done terrible sins for which they deserve to go into Golus. So according to the parish of the Mitzudos David, the reason why this cheref, this sword of Nebuchadnezzar, has been sharpened and has been polished, is coming to Klal upon them, is a punishment, because Oinosis, always translated in a very unique way, it means because. Because... Oh, kind of four meanings, but I don't think it fits into one of the four meanings. Oh, Dilma Daha, Ella, I don't think it fits into one of those four meanings. So here it's used in a different way. Because Nosis, they rejoiced, Shevet Bini, the Yehud and Binyamin, over the downfall of the Aseres HaShvatim or Eses Koletz. This Shevet who detested all other tribes. Now let's go to the next psukim. Now the psukim continue in Pasuk Tezayin and Yudzayin. Hashem made the sword of Nebuchadnezzar sharp. It was sharpened. The reason why it was sharpened was, Murat means polished. It was polished so that lis pois bakof, you can hold it in your hand. Now, I don't know. I'm just asking you a question, an observation. When you polish a sword, you polish the blade. You don't polish the handle. So why it doesn't seem to really be important? The reason why it was polished.
When you have a polished blade, you hold it up. The
it's a polished blade, but it says that's what it says before. But here it's saying more. It's vaitin aso limarta lispos bakof. So you can hold it in your hand. The handle of the sword has been polished as well, so it's easy to hold in your hand. It's not rough. It's not rusty. If it's rusty, it's uncomfortable to hold in your hand. You want it to be comfortable, I guess. I guess it looks, I'm sure, I know, and all the knives and weapons, they have very high-tech, comfortable handlebars, right? Even handlebars on your bike, they sell very expensive foam, all different types of materials, so it should be easy and comfortable to hold. Therefore, you can hold it well, there'll be more precision in its use. He who chadah cheref, the sword has been sharpened, v'hi morata, it has been polished, loseis osa biyad harek, so that it can be delivered to the hand of the murderer. Therefore now, za'ak v'hilel ben adam, Hashem says to Yechezkel, cry and mourn you, Yechezkel, ki hi hoysa v'ami, because this sword is going to be let loose. It's going to be let loose against my nation. He b'chol nisiyah Yisrael. It's going to be let loose against the princes, against the kings. Tzidkiyahu, Yehoyachin, Yehoyakim, and all the other leaders of the Jewish people. Migure el cheref, hayu el ami. Either this means they're coming to surround my nation with the sword. all of the enemy, all the mercenaries, hired by Nebuchadnezzar, they will surround the Jewish people with a sword against my people. Muguri then means to surround with a sword against my nation, or Muguri means to terrorize, to invoke fear with a sword upon my people. L'chein, therefore, sifok el yorech yecheskel, I want you to take your hands, bang it hard against your thigh, make a loud sound, cry out in anguish what is going to happen. Okay, so far, so good. We reviewed the three major perushim in Pasuk Tes Zayin. In Pasuk Tes Vav. And now we're coming to where we are up to. Kivochan. Now what does this mean? Kivochan, we're going to translate very simply first according to the Mitzudos. This sword, it's a description of the sword. It has been strengthened. It's not just your ordinary sword. This sword has been put through different furnaces to make the blade extremely strong, so it should succeed in carrying out its mission. Kivoychan, it's been strengthened. Uma, and again, let's translate it now according to the Mitzudos. Uma, what's the purpose of all this? What's the purpose of sharpening, polishing, strengthening, polishing the blade, the handle, getting ready? What's the purpose? Why would Hashem go through the effort of doing all of this? If not for the fact that it's going to be used against the Jewish people. Im gam shevet moy eses lo yeah. If the shevet, if this weapon, which we're calling a rod, which is Moeses, that detests the other nations, meaning it's not a consideration for it to be used against the other nations of the world. Im lo yiyah, why would they go through the effort of polishing, sharpening, and beautifying the sword if it's not going to be used against someone? And who is that someone? You, Klal Yisrael. Because for it to be used against another nation was not a consideration, was not even a havamina. Because for it to be used against another nation, it was mos. It was detestable. It's not worth the effort to go and rally the troops against other nations. And therefore, it has to be that it's being prepared for you, Klal Yisrael. Watch out. Nu'um Hashem Elohim, so says Hashem. So in this interpretation, according to the Mitzudas, Bochan means the sword has been strengthened. Uma means, what's the purpose? Im gam shevet, if the shevet, which is another word for the weapon, mo'eses, which is not going to be used against other nations, lo yiyah, if it will not be used against you, the Jewish people. Okay, those are the basic way the Mitzudas translates this. Let's see the Mitzudas inside now. Pasuk Yudches. Pasuk Yudches, boichan, ki boichan, ki achelev ahi nischazka. The sword, boichan, is an adjective describing the sword. Ki achelev ahi nischazka, it's been strengthened. Bidvar hachidud, through sharpening the hazoihar and polishing, shine. V'loma nischazka, that's the word umo. Why would you go through the effort of making it strong? Kolkach im gam timas lichvay shevet bonai. If it's not going to be used as a weapon against my children, the shevet bonai. He comes to clarify the word shevet over here is heim uchluse yisrael. This is a metaphor for the population. I'm sorry. Shevet is a metaphor for the weapon. Lichvay shevet bonai. I'm sorry. I take that back. According to the Mitzudas, he says his shevet means. Im timas lichva shevet bonai. Shevet he means here, it means Klal Yisrael. Okay, shevet bonai. Heim uchluse Yisrael, the population of the Jewish people. Uchmo shemo eses kol eitz. Heim uchluse ha'umos. If it's going to be, if the Jewish people are going to be equivalent to the nations of the world, then it's a waste of time. Because the nations of the world are maos in the eyes of the sword. Imkein lo yitzarch klal elachem. There's no need for the sword to do all of this. V'lama imkein nischazka. Why then is the sword being sharpened? It must then be. It's being sharpened to be used against my people. Okay. So he here translates imgam shevet. Okay, so he translates his shade that he's changing. In gam timas lichros shaved bonai, the shaved my children, heim uchlusei Yisrael, uchumo shemoy eses kol eitzem uchlusei umais. Just like it detests the nations of the world.
We have a little different change. We have uchlusei
uchlusei. Okay, so instead of the umos alam. Okay. Okay, but what's interesting over here, I didn't notice this, is that he's changing the word shevet here, he translates to mean the Jewish people. Okay, the Jewish people, and we have to put a comma. The trup is not does not fit well according to the Metsudos, because the two words go together, and if we go back to Pasuk Tes Vav, when it says shevet bini, ko'imer lo keinhu achdu ushachev tovu l'kor shevet bini, v'chev lo imar uch l'seyi, so it's consistent, I take it back. When it says Shevet Bini, it means Shevet Bini means the Jewish people, means the tribe. Okay, the tribe of my people. And when we put, and in our pasuk, in pasuk Yud Ches, you have to put a hard break between the word Shevet and the word Moyeses. Ki Voichan, the sword has been strengthened. Uma, why waste your time doing this? Im Gam Shevet. If it's not going to, you have to read the words out of order. Im shevet lo yiyah. Make believe you read the words im shevet lo yiyah. If it's not going to come upon my people, because for it to come upon another nation, it's not going to happen. Because moeses, because it detests the desire to go out and strike another nation. That's really how you have to read the pasuk according to the parish of the Mitzudos. You have to put a break. You have to connect the word shevet lo, with the words lo yiyah, and then go back and explain what it means moeses. This is the only option for the sword. There is not a consideration for it to be used against another nation. So says Hashem. Now let's see the Radak first. Before, even though we normally do Rashi, but let's first see the Radak, because Rashi is very long and very complex. Rashi provides many interpretations and reviews the entire sugya. So Radak Pasuk Yud Ches Ki Voichan Umo Ki Acherev Hazos Hotzia Livchoin Ba Bnei Adam. So first of all, we have to right away see that the Radak translates the word Boichan not to mean strengthened, but rather it means it has gone out to test. The sword has been used in battle to see if it really works.
What we call battle tested.
Battle tested. V'chol hamarita shenaseis lehavriko. All of the polishing that has done for psychological warfare lehavriko to cause it to shine ulehavchid ba bnei adam kidei sheyeshuvu bnei adam laderech hatayva. The reason why all of this has done was in order to inspire the klal Yisrael to do teshuva. V'huchado lichros ba. And to cut them down im lo yoshuvu if they do not do tshuva. The reason why this sword has been battle tested and is ready to go is in order to instill fear into Klali so that they should do tshuva. It's like Shabbos morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. Did everyone wake up? 5 o'clock in the morning?
Only four.
Yeah. 4 o'clock in the morning?
We all get up and go back to sleep.
The Akanimus Halei, right? So Hashem only created the Barakim, the thunder and lightning, in order to straighten out the crookedness of your heart. Did anyone have a Hirhurei Teshuva? The world is coming to an end. Koilei Suvarakim. Okay, it's very interesting. Take a poll. It would have been very good to take a poll. Shabbos morning, go out on the street. You know, Shabbos can't do it with the microphone. So tell me your thoughts. When there was thunder and lightning at 4 o'clock in the morning, tell me what exactly were you thinking? It's very simple. What people will tell you what their machshavas. One person told me, I got so scared, I just went under the covers. One person told me, he says, I was mahara b'tshuva. It was ma'ir me to be mahara b'tshuva. Another person told me, it was like I was imagining this is what it must have been like Har Matan Torah, Har Sinai. This is what it must have some degree. Okay, next. Uman, let's see the next part of the Radak. Uman imgam shevet moeses lo yiyah. Moye zeha boichen. What's the purpose of battle testing the sword? Imgam shevet bini timas. If the tribe of Klal Yisrael will reject, it will reject. So he's translating over here, Shevet Moyeses, Shevet Bini Moyeses, L'chroisai K'mo Shemoyeses Koletz. If it's not, it's exactly like what we learned in the Mitzudos. If it's going to reject the nations of the world, then, and it's also going to reject Klal Yisrael, then Maya Boichin Azeh, Hinei Lashav Moritov Hivrik. It's been a wasted exercise. The Havrokas Acherev Himoshul La'asoras Hanavim. What is the significance of polishing the sword? It is symbolic of the warning of the prophets. Period. The Yonason Tirgeim game. Let's leave that out for now because we're going to see Yonason in a few moments from Rashi. So basically, the Mitzudos Dov Radak is saying Kemat the same exact interpretation as the Radak is saying the same thing as the Mitzudos. The only difference is he translates the words Boichan to mean battle tested, or as Mitzudos translates Boichan to mean the sword has been strengthened. And when it says Shevet Moyeses, it appears there might be a difference between the Radak and the Mitzudos, whereas according to the Mitzudos, we have to break up the words Shevet Lo Yieh. And then we go back and we explain Moyeses means Moyeses Koletz. Possibly, according to Radak, it means Shevet Moyeses Lohiyah. It's going to be Moyes in addition to the nations. It's also going to be Moyes to come upon the Jewish people. Then it's a waste. If it's also going to be Mos in the eyes of the rod, of the weapon, to come upon Klal Yisrael, then there is no purpose in preparing this weapon. Okay, now let's go to the parish of Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Yudches. Rashi Yudches Kiboichan. Kiboichan Rav. Now there appears to be over here in my edition. I have over here, it wasn't working. Okay. In my edition over here, I have over here the Sifsei Zekanim. Do you have that in your edition? Sifsei Zekanim on Rashi. It's a parish on Rashi. I don't think.
No.
You don't have it. Okay. So it just says over here there's a Tos Hatfus in Rashi. There's a mistake in Rashi. Rashi here says kiboichan rav betzaros. Boichan means they were tested. Now I'm assuming he means to be tested because Rachmana l'Shel Olam, when a person has a tzara, that's in this we call it an asayon. Okay, it's not a punishment. It's not a punishment chas v'shalom. When a person lives with difficulties, Hashem is testing the person. How will he react to this degree of Hashem hiding himself? Will he rebel, or will he be makabel, accept it? Okay, so every tzara is called a test. And there's a lot of comfort, by the way, if you notice in these words, even in the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is harming us, is bringing tzaras, it's called, Hashem calls us bini, Hashem calls us his shevet, calls us his tribe, Hashem calls us bini, his child, and also it doesn't say that it's a punishment, it says, at least according to Rashi, that it's a boichan, it's a test. Avraham had 10 nisyonos. Hashem didn't punish Avram. Hashem tested Avram. It was difficult. Avraham had many difficulties in life. These are not considered to be punishments. How would we react all of those situations? So you just say, Hashem, just throw in the towel. That's probably what I would do. But Avraham Avinu, he viewed these things as nisyonos. Ki voichan, boichan rav betzaros. You've been tested very much with difficulties. Sha'ar peron onios. Other types of punishments. So what are the other punishments? So this goes back to what we learned a few weeks ago in Perek. Which Perek was this? This goes back a few parakim ago, Perek Tezvav, I think it was. And here the girsa should be Arba, four other, now this is the girsa the way he has it. Sha'ar Peronios, Arba Shefatim Nivcharu Bohem. Four punishments were used against them.
I'm reading
about different gears in Rashi.
Different
gears in Rashi. What are the four? Cherev, Dever, and Chaya, and Rav. Back before in Perek Tes Vav, we learned that Hashem is going to bring upon the Malchus of Yehuda right before the Golus four different types of punishment. Cherev, the sword, famine, Chaya, wild animals, and Dever, plague. Four different types of tzaras are going to lead up to the Churban, and at the Churban people will be then exiled, will die from one of those four things. So here it says, further in Rashi, okay, you don't have the whole year, so let's read the next Dibra Maskel. U'mo imgam shevet moyeses lohiyeh. Now you have to remember, Rashi is Lishitasai. Rashi translates the word Shevet not as a tribe in Klal Yisrael. Rashi translated the word Shevet to mean a weapon. A weapon that is so mighty, when this weapon looks at other weapons, it's disgusted. You're nothing compared to me. I'm a nuclear bomb. All other weapons are trivial relative to my power, my strength. So when it says here, Shevet Moeses, it is a term which describes the ultimate weapon, a weapon that is almighty. Okay? So, what is going to happen to my children? If this weapon comes upon them, im she'or ha'boichan, together with all of the other forms of punishment that I have put upon them, the four punishments, lo yiyeh oid bini le'olam, they will not survive. V'chein tirgim yonason lo yiskaimun, yonason ben David also translates the word lo yiyeh to mean lo yiskaimun. That's the only thing Rashi and the Targum agree upon in the translation of this pasuk. Avol shor hamikro lo tirgim kach, he does not explain this way, and he's going to explain exactly how he translates the words of the pasuk. But in other words, what he's saying over here according to Rashi is, Rashi has really finished his interpretation, which is extremely different than everything we learned until now. And he's saying, ki boichan, the Jewish people, Hashem, until now, these last few psukim, Hashem is describing this weapon, this massive weapon, which is sharpened, polished, and ready to go. And this weapon is this weapon is has been described according to Rashi back in Pasuk Tezvav as such a mighty weapon that it all other weapons are trivial relative to its strength. So it says now ki boichan, Hashem now is mourning kaviyachol. Wow, look how terrible this is. I have to bring upon them a nuclear bomb after I already have caused them to suffer so much. I've already caused them to suffer with cherev, with rav, with dever, and chaya. I've already brought upon them four terrible different types of suffering. They've been tested, meaning they've been challenged, they've been suffered. And now, Hashem complains, wow, look how sad it is. This is an expression of sadness. Umar, how sad it is that after all this, they still did not do tshuva, and I have no choice but to bring upon them this cheref, im gam shevet moeses, if now I have no choice but to bring upon them this magnificent weapon which makes trivial all of the weapons, comma, or period. And what's the result going to be? Is a lo yiyeh. They're going to be obliterated off the face of the earth. They're not going to survive. It's going to be curtains. That's what it says in the pasuk. Lo yiyeh. So that's an old age question, that all the different promises don't necessarily stand out. If we don't do our part of the deal, this is an old age question. All the brachas to the avos, to the avos, and to this and to that. After everything is said and done, there are no guarantees. Hashem could destroy the world, and everything will come to an end, even though He made all these promises. V'netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. We have to do at least minimally our part as a nation. I always tell you this story many times. My grandfather, Shmuel Dov Roshavchik, so he always used to tell over his Talmidim, I have this on tape, before Purim, that he has all the names, he is very dramatic, it was right before the World War II, and he went in Erev Purim, it was Tainus Esther, to one of the Gedolei Yisrael. He said who it was, and he walked in, and this Gadol was very, very sad. He sensed that there's going to be a Churban, there's going to be a Holocaust. So my grandfather says exactly what you said. How could there be a Churban? Look how much Torah you're Shemayim. Look how many Gedolim there are in Europe. Look how many great things we have. Hashem just going to wipe it all out. It's all going to happen. So he said that this Gadol, he turned red, and he started banging on it with his fist on the table, and he said to him, it says in the Megillah, Lahashmid, Laharoig, Ula Abed, Eskol HaYehudim, Minar, V'Yadzokein, Taf, V'Noshim, B'Yoyim Echad. He's banging, it says in the Megillah that there was a Gezerah, and the Gezerah was sealed was sealed in blood. It says in Chazal, the Gezerah was sealed to wipe out the entire Klal Yisrael. Men, women, children, taf, no survivors. And if not for Mordechai, Lech, Kinois, it's Kol HaYehudim, if not for the fact that they all got together and they did tshuva, it would have been fulfilled. Oh, but what about what it says? What it says, all the Mamari Chazal? It goes to show, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you do not do your part, there has to be some mashu, some minimal degree of our part of doing tshuva and nimakir this Ribbono Shel Olam, then all the promises are not going to help. It's a very frightening thing to say. It goes against. But look what it says over here. According to Rashi, Rashi over here says ki vaychan chaval. They've already been tested four times. I brought upon them so many tzaris. Uma, nu, what could I do about them? What could I do? Imgam shevet moeses. If I have to also bring upon them this magnificent weapon, which has been sharpened, polished, and been made ready, which makes all the weapons trivial. And if this weapon is used against them, lo yia, they're not going to survive. There's going to be no one left. Nu'um Hashem Elokim. This is the way Rashi learns on the pasuk. Read again those that Rashi. The Ramaslo mo imgam shevet moeses lo yia umati yeod albini. What's going to be with them? Im gam shevim u'eses zo tovoy olav. If this magnificent weapon comes upon them, im, together with she'or ha'boychan, the other punishments that I have let loose against them back in Pasik Tes, back Perik Tes Vav, what's the result going to be? Kamo lo yihye oid bini ba'olam. And the Chayin Tegim Yonasan, he translates with lo yihye the same way, lo yiskaimun, period. Avol shor mikro lo yitigim kach. The kach near be'enai, so he's going back to the parish. Rashi in Pasik Yitches is consistent with his parish in Pasik Tes Vav, and he says this is the correct interpretation of the Pasik, no ands, if, or buts, period. Now, he goes on to say, Vishamati, I acknowledge that my parish is novel. The way I break up the psukim, the way I translate the word shevet moeses, the way I translate the word eitz, the way I translate the word oinosis, oinosis, oinosis means, is there anything in life left to rejoice about? It's a rhetorical question. The way I've translated the word boichan to mean they've already been tested with a lot of suffering. Every single word that Rashi translated in pasuk tezvav and pasuk yudches is novel. Is a chiddush, because there really is no clear translation for these words. And Rashi says, I am satisfied with my interpretation. Vishamati by Lashonis Rabbim, I've looked at all the other editions, all the other svarim, I found many interpretations. And Vereitzi b'sifrei pisroinois, I looked in the books of interpretations. I wish we had these books. We have these books today. These books are from, we lost from us. Can you imagine if we had these things today? It would be a field day for all of the scholars to go analyze what Rashi refers to with Sifrei Pisroinois. Velo nisyashvu li, they are not satisfying in my eyes. Now, he does bring a raya. I'll tell you one thing that I'm right from the Paitan. Rashi often quotes from the Paitanim, which lived not that much before him. Okay, many of them lived at the same time as Rashi. Va'payat sheyosad b'chanukah, the piyut that is recited on the first, the yoitzer, on the first Shabbos of Chanukah, He used the word as follows. Now, I don't know the whole piece, but from this context, it says, "Mimoy eses kol eitz hadokur ham zane." Now, there the same term is used, "Moy eses kol eitz," which again is a mystery what these words mean. But there, it's connected to the word dokur. Dokur means to stab, and ham zane means a person that commits adultery. So, if the word dokur is being used in relation to the word my eses koleitz, that obviously means that the term my eses koleitz is a metaphor for a sword. Because a sword is something which you stab. You stab with. Now this is not like, this is a raya, this is a raya that this is a proof that when it says shevet is a weapon, not like the targum, and like the Mitsudos who translate the word Shevet as a tribe. Since Shevet Moeses Kol Eitz is back in the previous, in Pasuk Tezvav, these words are used together, and this word is, this term is supplemented with the term Dokur in the Piyut, proves Rashi is correct that this term Shevet Moeses Kol Eitz is a weapon that is magnificent and makes other weapons trivial in relation to itself. Shekara esacherv, there in this period we're calling a sword my SS kolaitz. Fine. So therefore the Rashi at least has some support to his opinion from a little excerpt from a piyut in Chanukah, a yoitzer. The yoitzer interrogate Cain. Now he is reviewing the parish of Yonison, and we already did this last week. But also you have to understand the Yonison parag of Yonison. We didn't do it in this pasuk. It has to be consistent in how we learned it in pasuk Tezvav and how we're going to learn it now in pasuk Yitches. Yonison tirgim oynosis al daachadiu shifta debase Yehuda ben Yamin l'shiftaya the Yisrael. That the two tribes, Yehuda and Benjamin, they rejoiced. Oinosis is not a rhetorical, it's not a question, it is a statement. The reason why this sword is going to come upon Klal Yisrael is as a punishment for rejoicing over the downfall and the exile of the Aseres HaShvatim. They rejoiced, L'shiftaya di Yisrael, Kad when Gelo, when they went into Golis, Ad Diflochu, when they worshipped L'tavose, they worshipped idols, V'savu Inun, and they went backwards. They went backwards, limited to make mistakes. Basar tzilmei or ayah wooden. Or ayah means wooden. That's what it means. Moeses kol eitz. The wooden idols. Now, so he learns afhu meforish. So according to Targum, he translates the word noinosis loshon tmiya. Afhu meforish. Wait. Afhu meforish. Oh, sorry. Afhu meforish oinosis loshon tmiya. Should we rejoice? A question. So let's read a few words. Ki boichan umo im gan. Now because now he's quoting our pasuk. Now he's going to our pasuk. Let's just read this a little before we'll explain. Ki boichan umo im gam shevet mo eses lo yeh. Here he translates it to mean arei isnat biu alehoni viaya v'loy savu. Boichan means they've already been tested. The two shvatim were forewarned. Don't rejoice over the downfall of your brothers. They were warned. Kloimar, kvar hadavar bochun. They already tested, and already they failed the test, and already was proven shelo yoshuvu, they will not do teshuva. Umo yehe b'soifehoin. What's now going to be their end? Im gam shevet moyeses lo yeh. If they, Yehuda and Binyamin, will not do teshuva, and they will also need to be destroyed. Emar lohoin, say to them, Af shifta debes Yehuda uvinyamin, migla yiglon, you also will have to go into Galus. Uve ovodehon bi shaya, and due to your evil deeds, lo yiskaimun, you will not survive. Malchus, now he explains the Targum, Malchus shevet shohoisa moy eses bechaverta, the Malchus of Yehuda Binyamin, the Shevet, the tribe, that hated, detested the Aseres HaShvatim, because, Mal Eges Aleihem, mock them, the Al Horo HaBo Aleihem, mock them and rejoiced over the Tzaros that came upon them, Af Hi Lo Siyev Lo Yisokum, they also will not survive. Now, so therefore, let's now go back. Let's go back and let's go back. So according to the parish of the Targum, I made a mistake. I thought it was a statement. If you go back to Pasuk Tezvav says Laman Tevayach Tevach Luchad Alan Heheyilo Barak Marata Oinosis. Should you rejoice? Should you Yehud and Binyamin? Should you rejoice? Should you have rejoiced over the downfall of your brothers? Okay, that's what it means. It means not, I made a mistake. I thought it means as a punishment. It means the reason why you're being punished is because of your sin. What is your sin? The way the sin is being expressed is with a question. Oinosis, was it proper for you, Shevet Bini, Yehuda and Binyamin, who are my tribe, is it proper for you to rejoice, my SS kol eitz, to rejoice over the other Shvatim who worshipped idols? Idols are things which should be detested. According to the Targum, eitz means the idols made from wood. Idols made from wood are objects which are detestable in the eyes of Hashem. So is it right for you, Yehuda and Binyamin, the Shevet Bini, to rejoice over the downfall of your brothers, the Aseres HaShvatim, in the sin that they've committed by worshipping an object which is Avodah Zarah, and the term used to describe Avodah Zarah is, my SS Kol Eitz, Was that the right thing to do? It wasn't the right thing to do. Now jump to Pasuk Yud Ches. Ki Voichan. So maybe at least you'll do tshuva. You'll do tshuva for your sins. You've already been tested. It's too little too late. The Nevi'im came to you and they told you not to rejoice. The Nevi'im came to you and told you to behave yourself. You've already been tested. And you failed the test. And therefore, Ummah, what's now going to be with Klal Yisrael? Im gam shevet moyeses, if even these Shvatim, Yehuda and Binyamin, which was the last hope there was for Klal Yisrael, lo yeh, if they also are not going to survive in Golas because of their sins. Nu'am Hashem Elokim. So says Hashem. So this is the way we learn from the Targum. He learns boichan not to mean strengthened, not to mean battle-tested. It means you fail the test of the prophets. The prophets gave you musar. They told you to do tshuva. You did not listen to do tshuva. And therefore you, Yehuda and Binyamin, who are described here in this pasuk with the term, the Shevet Moyeses, the tribe that detested the other tribes, the tribe that detested Avodah Zarah, what's going to be with you? You're also not going to survive. Lo yiyah, you will cease to exist. Now we go to another parish. Rashi continues. Oid efterenu loshen acher. Rashi provides another interpretation. Oy nosis, oy shema nosis, ki somar elai shevet bini moyeses koletz. Maybe we should rejoice over the Yehuda and Binyamin. They should rejoice over themselves. In other words, they should take pride that they did not worship Avodah Zarah. When Yehuda and Binyamin, the Aseres HaShvatim were worshipping idols, Yehuda and Binyamin were not worshipping idols. Now, according to this interpretation, we're not addressing the attitude of Yehuda and Binyamin towards the Aseres HaShvatim. In this interpretation, we're just coming to point out that indeed they were tzaddikim. Yehuda and Binyamin, they did not worship idols. The problem was, that didn't last long. Because shortly after the Golos of the Aseres HaShvatim, then Yehuda and Binyamin themselves began to worship idols. So don't take pride in your righteousness. What's the Chazal say? Don't trust yourself until the day you die. That's what it means over here. So, Oishema Nosis, maybe you will rejoice. Kisama, you'll say a lie. Shevet bini. Hashem saying to Yechas, maybe you'll rejoice. You'll say to me, Shevet bini, Moyeskolates. Malche Yehuda are tzadigim. They are Moyase Avoide Zorahim. They detest Avoide Zorah. Kmoshe Mutsinu Be'aviyah, Sh'omar, V'imochem Egle Hazov. Avi was the king of Yehuda, and he said to the Aseres HaShvatim, with you are the Egli Hazav, but the Osa, the Hoshafat, the Chizkiyahu, the Yoshiyahu, these were tzaddikim, these were Malche Yehuda, and Shebi'aro kol Avodah Zarah Shetachas Yodim, they were tzaddikim. V'af Elu Yeshuv V'Shuva, they did Shuva. So Hashem says to Yecheskel, not so fast, you're right, there were indeed some good kings in Yehuda that were tzaddikim. But unfortunately, it didn't last to the end. Za'ak ve'hilal, that's the Pasuk Yitzayim. Cry and mourn. Ve'al tosis alzos. Don't take pride that the kings of Yehuda were tzaddikim. It was short-lived. Ki hi tia ve'ami. This also, this sin of idol worship also spread. It was contagious. It also came to Yehuda. V'lomo ki voichan, and why should you not rejoice? Why instead should you mourn? Ki voichan, they worshipped idols to such a degree worse than the Aseres HaShvatim. We had this a few talking about, is that when the Yehuda began to worship idols, their sins were much more intense than the sins of the Aseres HaShvatim. Ki voichan kvar bochun hadavu lefonai shelo yoshuvu b'tshuvu hoygenes. They're not going to ever do tshuva avodah zarah. Umo im gam shevet moes lo yeh. And now what's going to be? Umo amtinod. What should I wait for anymore? I feel in bo loshuv limois avodah zarah. Even if they will shevet moeses, even if they will now try to do teshuva, a new novel interpretation of the word shevet moes. Even if this tribe, Yehuda Binyamin, will try now, at this point in time, to be moes and avodah zarah, it's too little, too late. Lo yeah, lo yiskayem hadavar biyadam, ki yimaru l'shuv l'rishasam. They're so steeped in sin that if the tshuva will be short-lived, they'll go back to the old ways. V'husham olim yahu im yashuv. If they'll try to do tshuva, lo yashuv. They will not succeed in doing tshuva in the long run. Okay, so this is the third interpretation. In this interpretation, we go back to pasuk tes vav, and in pasuk tes vav, we follow the approach of the targum that Shevet Bini refers to Yehuda and Binyamin when it says Zoynosis, but we're not at all addressing the issue of the attitude, the sin of rejoicing in the downfall of the brothers. The sin is the same sin of idol worship. And therefore, don't think that, Nosis, we should rejoice. We don't have to worry that we will be destroyed like the Aseres HaShvat, because we are tzaddikim. We have also Yehoshaphat, Yechizkiyahu, we have Yoshiyahu. They took away Avodah Zarah. Hashem says, no, there's nothing to rejoice about. Shevet Bini, my SS call, Nosis, Shevet Bini, my SS collates. Do you think you should rejoice in the fact of Yehud and Binyamin, who is a tribe that detests Avodah Zarah? Hashem says, no, don't rejoice. Go to Yudzayin, Za'ak, Ve'Hilel, Ben Adam, Kihi, Hoysav Ami. Ultimately, they also fell backwards. Menashe, and Omoin, and Yehoyakim, and Tzidkiyahu, they allowed Avodah Zarah to seep into Klal Yisrael. He b'chol Nesiyah Yisrael. This Avodah Zarah was amongst all the kings of the later kings of the Jewish people, Yehoyakim, Tzidkiyahu, and certainly Menashe and Amon. Megure El Cherv. Therefore, Megure El Chayu Al Ami L'Chein Sefek Al Yarech Ki Voichan. And Hashem says, by me, it's already been proven. It's been proven that it's too late for them to do tshuva. Uma. It's what will you accomplish? Im gam shevet moyeses. So he learns in this third interpretation, even if this shevet Yehudim Yim will now once again attempt to be moyes, they'll attempt to do tshuva and not worship of the Zara. Lo yihye, it's too little too late. The degree of tshuva they're going to be able to do at this point in time will not suffice to remove them from where they are. And there's now no choice. Nu'um Hashem Elokim, Sos Hashem. It's just too little, too late. Okay, so I hope I accomplished my goal by getting you as confused as you possibly can be. Okay, these two psukim are extremely difficult. Probably the most difficult thing we learned so far in Sefer Yechezkel, the combination of pasuk Tezvav and pasuk Yudches. Every single one of these psukim has a different interpretation. What exactly is the eights? What exactly is Oinosis? What is the sin? Is it Yehudim Binyamin? Is it, what's the Shevet? Is it a weapon? Is Shevet a tribe? And what is the sequence of these psukim? You have over here so many different interpretations. You have a basic, very simple approach of the Mitzudos David, which says that we're dealing here with a weapon. A weapon's coming against Klal Yisrael. It's not going to come against any other nation. So therefore, there's nothing to rejoice. We have the basic interpretation of the Targum that we're addressing over here, a particular chait, the chait of rejoicing over the downfall of the Aseres HaShvatim, a very terrible sin, which we've said many times. Today is very much relative to us, because today we have, among us, we have Reform and Conservative, and we have all other denominations which are bringing an incredible Churban and Klal Yisrael. And when they suffer defeat, so we have a tendency to rejoice in their defeat and in their downfall. And especially in Eretz Yisrael today, the battle has really shifted to Eretz Yisrael, America. No one talks about this in America.